Well, in Spain, as we move into December, it's turn for Cathal Rochford to join us from Brevin's Franks. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Howard. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping very well. Thank you very much indeed. Well, the UK Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, delivered his autumn budget, or autumn statement, as officially called, on the 22nd of November. Now that he's had time to look at the finer details of the tax elements, Cathal will summarise the key issues that may affect British expatriates in Spain, just for us. So, many of the newspaper headlines following the budget talked about tax cuts, but am I right in thinking that the cuts were mainly restricted to national insurance contributions, and so won't affect most expatriates?
Yes, indeed, Howard. The tax cuts that they've announced were mostly focused, as you say, on national insurance contributions. So it will be most relevant for people who earn a salary or are in self-employment in the UK, and they will benefit from these cuts. So next year, the main rate of C1 employee national insurance contributions will be reduced from 12% down to 10%. And for self-employed people, the rate drops from 9% to 8% from April of next year. The Chancellor explained that he was able to make these cuts thanks to the swifter than anticipated economic recovery and a halving of the inflation rates. He pointed out that the current high employment taxes that affect 27 million people act as a disincentive to the hard work that should be prioritised. So to your point, we don't believe that these changes will affect most expatriates, especially people who are living here in Spain, especially those who've actually already retired.
Yeah. So income tax rates remain the same then. And what about the elephant in the room, those frozen allowances? Have they been retained?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So both the income tax rates and the income tax brackets remain unchanged. The tax threshold continues to be frozen for a few more years until 2028, in fact. So while the national insurance cuts are a welcome change, they only partially offset the fiscal drag created by the frozen income tax thresholds.
Do frozen allowances then make a noticeable impact on our pockets?
Yes, Howard, they certainly do. In fact, frozen allowances are often called hidden tax rises or taxation by stealth. As it's not so obvious that they are tax rises, but many taxpayers will still end up paying more tax over time or will be pushed into higher tax brackets than if the allowances had increased with inflation or had increased in what we call real terms. The UK's official forecaster, the Office for Budget Responsibility, has estimated as a result of the policy almost 4 million more people will be paying income tax and 3 million more people will move into the higher tax bracket by 2029.
What about inheritance tax? There has been some speculation that the tax rate could be reduced, but the budget didn't include anything on this, did it?
Indeed, the budget didn't include any changes to inheritance tax. The Chancellor had been under pressure from some backbench MPs to cut inheritance tax, and there was widespread speculation that the tax rate could be halved from the current rate of 40% down to 20%. But for now, he left it untouched, and we'll have to wait to see if the spring budget includes anything additional on this. The inheritance tax nil rate band, meanwhile, has been frozen at £325,000, where it has been since 2009 and will have been frozen for almost 20 years, dragging more and more families into the inheritance tax net. The government, in fact, is on course to collect record inheritance tax receipts for the third year in a row. HMRC, in fact, received an extra £1 billion over the last tax year, generating a total of £7 billion. And the number of people paying this unpopular tax has jumped 24%, up from 33,000 people the previous year, up to 41,000 people now. And the government expects inheritance tax revenue to continue to rise, bringing in £38 billion over the next 5 years. In contrast, house prices have, of course, risen over this long period, pushing more estates into the inheritance tax net. Other asset prices will have increased in value also, and therefore more and more families are now paying a tax that was once designed to hit only the wealthy. So I think overall, you know, not cutting interest inheritance taxes is something that will benefit the government. And of course, if they do make cuts to this tax, they will have to find the funds elsewhere. I mean, with the UK running a fiscal deficit and high debt to GDP, they will need to generate more revenue if they're going to make tax cuts to inheritance tax.
Let's look at pensions now. The budget confirmed the so-called triple lock will be maintained. This is good news for state pensions, I take it.
Yes, this is very good news. The triple lock is where the government commits to increase the state pension by the highest of three metrics. So one is the average earnings growth. The next is the CPI, or Consumer Prices Index, which is also known as the inflation rate, or a minimum of 2.5%. So Jeremy Hunt explained that the triple lock has been a lifeline for many during a time of high inflation, and said that the government honoured its commitment to it. So this is certainly very good news, especially after the inflationary shock we've been going through in recent years, since COVID, in fact. The state pension will therefore increase by 8.5% next year, in line with earnings. And this is after the previous 10.1% rise, in line with CPI inflation before.
Was there any other news about pensions? Last week, Brex talked about the new lump sum allowances. Did the budget include any developments on that?
Official documents published the same day as the budget confirmed that the lifetime allowance is being officially abolished, but it is being replaced by some new allowances on lump sums. The new lump sum allowance and lump sum debt benefits allowance will start next April. And as you mentioned, my colleague Brett explained this very well last week. In basic terms, the lump sum allowance applies to payments made during the pension scheme member's lifetime. Under new regulations, this allowance is set at a fixed limit of 25% of the previous lifetime allowance of just over £1 million. And therefore, the lump sum allowance is equivalent to around £268,000. The lump sum and debt benefit allowance is applicable to debt lump sum payments. Similar to the lifetime allowance, the lump sum debt benefit allowance has a fixed limit of £1.073 million. And this may affect people with pension funds over around £1 million and result in more tax for you or your beneficiaries. When a debt benefit is paid as a lump sum, it will only be tax-free if it falls below the deceased's remaining allowance. And any excess over this will be taxable at the beneficiary's marginal rate of income tax. And this applies regardless of the member's age when they pass away. We do, however, now have confirmation that when it comes to debt benefits, if the pension fund is designated to draw down within 2 years of death and the benefit is taken as a pension income, then the tax treatment does not change from what we have now. So, if the debt occurs before the age of 75, the income payment will be tax-free. And if the debt occurs after the age of 75, the income recipient will pay income tax at their marginal rate. If, however, the debt benefit is paid as a lump sum, anything above the previous lifetime allowance will be taxed. We did, however, find out a new third allowance, an overseas transfer allowance, will be set at just over £1 million, or the previous lifetime allowance level. From April, if you transfer your pension into a QROPS or an overseas pension, it will be tested against this new overseas transfer allowance. Any amount in excess of the allowance will be subject to an overseas transfer charge, which will be 25%. Although the proposed law is yet to be published, there is a possibility that this will apply for all transfers to an overseas pension or a QROPS, including EU ones. However, the government hasn't released any further information on this or how it will work exactly, but it will hopefully be clarified over the coming weeks.
Well, moving away from taxes now and onto the big topic of the last couple of years, how is inflation doing in the UK? And what does the government forecast for next year?
Yeah, the UK has been struggling, of course, with high inflation for years now. Food prices, for example, are 30% higher than they were 2 years ago. However, the forecasts now expect price rises to slow and inflation to come down. The government's independent forecaster, the Office for Budget Responsibility, now expects the inflation rate to drop to 2.8% by the end of next year, having peaked at over 11% in October of last year. It then forecast that the inflation rate will return to the 2% target in 2025. Remember, though, that these are just forecasts, and even low inflation can affect our savings over time with lower interest rates, of course. So even when inflation returns to normal, we still need to plan and protect our retirement savings for the longer term. So this is also just something worth mentioning.
Do you have any further comments or advice for our listeners following the budget?
Yes, the best recommendation I would make is to look to take professional advice. The tax landscape is never a constant and is always subject to change, and it has proven to do so over time. As a resident in Spain, you will also have to plan for changes in the Spanish budget and Spanish taxation, as well as what we've discussed on the UK side. Relying on a standalone piece of tax advice can quickly expire and become redundant. So I would say it's vital to stay abreast of these changes and to make sure your financial and tax planning remains on the right course, suitable, compliant and efficient for you today, in your country of residence, of course, and for your family in the future to make your legacy count. In terms of seeking advice, an initial consultation is well worth an hour of your time with a suitably regulated professional. The cost of getting your financial planning and your tax planning wrong, or the risk of taking a DIY approach, could prove far more expensive than speaking with an experienced, qualified advisor. At Blevins Franks, we've been helping people move from the UK to Spain for almost 50 years now, which has given us a wealth of experience in this area. So I would say, in order to get peace of mind that your tax planning is correct and suitable today and will adjust to the changing landscape over time, we definitely recommend just seeking professional advice and making sure that you've done everything in the right order and at the right time.
And the first port of call, obviously, is the website, www.blevinsfranks.com.
Yes, absolutely. And, as I mentioned before, we've got advisors across the countries which we cover. And it's well worth getting in touch with one of our local partners and, sitting down over a cup of coffee, no obligation conversation, and see how we can assist with your plans for moving to Spain.
Thank you very much.